It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Our guy, Securing the Bagley, with the Quincy Doobie, Avi.
All right.
Says last 15 games, talking about Malik Monk.
Securing the Doobie?
Securing the Doobie, Rutgers' finest. Last 15 games, Malik Monk shooting 40% from the floor, 26.3 from three. At what point will he actually shoot with confidence? Like I said, it's the way people see the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If I'm Doug Christie, I'm imploring him to continue to shoot. You're 0-7 from three in a game. Have the confidence that you're about to be 1-8 the next time you take it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want you, I don't want to be drastic, but you're no good to me if you're scared. You are no good to me.
Sure.
If you're out there scared. So some people, and I don't want to make it, I just don't want to make it some type of way. Some people who look at the game a certain way, like, you've missed your last three shots, pass the ball. And like, yeah, if a wide open pass is there, make a pass or whatever. But I want you to shoot the ball. You missed the last three, four, five, this next one going in. And it's just the way that you look at the game. I ain't never going to tell Malik, DeRozan, Zach LaVine, hell, even Keegan, to stop shooting the ball. That's damn near the reason why you are where you are. Shoot the ball if you got a good look with confidence. So never you lose confidence, in my opinion.
Do you guys think at this point in the season, every player knows what their role is, game in and game out, going into it? Like, everyone's clear of what they need to do?
I should.
I think so.
Like, why are we seeing Zach LaVine only take however many
shots? Yeah, I don't know.
The Zach LaVine thing is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. It can't be that that's not your role. It can't be that we suddenly don't want you to score. Who told him that?
Well, I'm just saying,
where did he surmise that from?
Right.
Maybe there's just no clear plan. Like I said, everything is just so jumbled up to me. It's just
I got an
like,
idea. Go
the
put
fly.
The ball in the basket and guard a goddamn three-point shooter. How about that?
You
that's as
that
basic
work?
As it is.
You are Zach LaVine. You average 20-some-odd points a night. You shoot the ball on all three levels. Your job is to score. Look around you. Who else is going to shoot the ball at that particular clip? Who else is going to be able to get those type of shots off? DeRozan, maybe. Monk, maybe, or whatever. Keegan is hit or miss on whether he shoots or not. Sabonis is hit or miss on whether he shoots or not. You're the guy. We need you to shoot the ball 15 times minimum every night.
Yeah.
I can't believe, and I know you're just asking a question, Jen, I can't believe Doug Christie is telling him anything less than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is clear as day who you're supposed to be on this team. So I don't know what these guys, well, him, I don't know what Zach LaVine's been doing this past week. I have no clue.
I don't know what they're doing collectively. It's such a just a dramatic fall off. Like, and we can argue about who they were winning those games against. You could run the weak schedule line if you want to,
mm-hmm.
but beating those teams the way that they were, beating those weak teams the way that they were, and coming out and looking like this against better teams, the discrepancy between those two is massive. Like, it is absolutely massive. And
is there anything to those teams that they beat? Just their season's already being over as well, and then they're playing for the tank?
Sure. It could be. But they still move the ball around. They still hit shots. Like, why are they hitting shots against bad teams and not good teams? You're telling me that they're defended that much better against Phoenix?
Yeah, the Phoenix thing was great.
You got your ass kicked by role players on Friday. Right.
The Phoenix.
It wasn't even KD or Book that did it to you.
The Phoenix one hurt because, like, that's kind of a team we were expecting to fall off too. Like, you weren't expecting it to be that bad.
Yeah, they're literally trying to quit.
They're no good.
It wasn't supposed to happen that way for the Kings on Friday. Yeah. Just given how Phoenix's season has been going, how they've been going the last few weeks, like the fact that you got blown out by that team.
You can rationalize or justify the Knicks and the Warriors games. You're just not as good as those two teams. The Warriors are the hottest team in basketball, or one of them the hottest teams in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You had the back-to-back with the Knicks waiting for you at the Sawyer. Like, there are things that we can say about those games, whether they're fair, justified, true. That's a whole nother debate. There is no justifying what we saw on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sorry-ass team. They don't have nearly the defenders and those guys that you talk about on the Knicks and the Warriors and all this other stuff. They don't like each other. They went out a day later, got destroyed by a team that is without LeBron, that's been struggling on their own. Like, there is no justification for what we saw on Friday. I think that's what helps make it worse. Is, like I said, I can come up with a couple of different reasons for those other two games. Friday, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
That was pitiful.
Yep.
Absolutely pitiful.
And now you're at home. You've got the start of a 7-game homestand. And there's no way to, like, frame this. Like, well, the season boils down to this. It probably doesn't. Because Dallas is way worse than you. That's all. We're now tiptoeing around Eastern Conference levels of making the play-in tournament. We're now tiptoeing around, you know, the you've got Orlando, who's 32-37. That's the 8th seed in the conference. You've got Atlanta, who's 32-36. That's the 7th seed in the conference. And here's Sacramento at 33-33, facing this brutal homestand that includes Cleveland and Oklahoma City and Giannis and the Bucks, and it includes Boston, Giannis. I can't remember if I said that already. You got Memphis tonight. You've got all of the top seeds in each conference just pulling up to the Golden 1 Center.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to find ways to – I don't think it's going to happen. I absolutely don't. An 11-game losing streak is not out of the question.
No.
Again, I absolutely do not believe that is going to happen. But you're going to have to win games that you're not favored in. Mm. At least a couple. You're going to have to win games that, Sacramento got someone. OKC, Boston, Milwaukee, whoever. Memphis. Oh, Kings got one. You're going to have a couple of those, because the likelihood of you exiting this homestand and going on the road above 500 is almost gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, how far under 500 are you? Can you do the improbable and maybe leave one game over? It doesn't feel likely, but your room for error in this homestand has been eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to play your best basketball for the next 7 games at home.
Yeah.
And hope that a couple squads are off. Hope that maybe you play your absolute best basketball and able to beat a good team. Hope that someone sleeps. Like, there's a lot of things that have to happen over the next 7 games.
And we'll see. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
Honestly, you got to pick yourself up tonight, because if you look at it, like, you're in the midst of a spiral. It's like, if you don't get it tonight, like, how? I don't know. It's just, I don't know how this team is supposed to pick themselves up. if you like, if it just keeps looking the same.
This is Doug's longest losing streak.
Yeah, I think so. Pretty sure.
Man.
No, you go ahead and talk. I'm distracted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bianca's on TV. It is wild that Monday Night Raw is on at 1:10 p.m. Monday, I actually love this, to be
Monday
honest with
brunch
you.
Raw.
I love this, though.
Yeah.
I love her. I love Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, two of my faves.
Yeah, for sure. There is something just wildly exotic about Rhea Ripley. Have you ever? And she looks so interesting without her makeup.
I don't think, like, I've ever seen her without her.
Her whole appeal is this very goth, scary character.
Yeah.
And then when it's gone, it's like, oh, that's still an attractive, very attractive young lady. But just, no, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
The kings can wait.
Yeah. I got my queens in the ring.
Jade comes out. Over.
Whatever's going on with Malik and Zach LaVine is not more important than what's going on with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair.
Yeah, man.
Lord is my shepherd. He know what I want.
But like you mentioned, though, I mean, they got to figure out a way to play better in general.
Well, Jesse's right. It needs to start tonight.
Right at home. It starts
set the,
tonight.
Yeah, set the tone tonight.
You get it tonight. It's like, what? You're going to get it against Cleveland on Wednesday, I think?
Tonight. Tonight's one of the easiest games on the schedule, and it's against the Grizzlies, who might be the 2 seed right now.
Are
they 2?
Are they at 3?
No, they're four. I'm sorry. They're 4. Well, yeah. Okay.
It's tight.
They're 4. They all have the same record.
Yeah.
I think a game separates 2 and 5, I think.
Yeah, Houston, Denver, and Memphis, they're all 43-25. They're a distant second from Oklahoma City.
Yeah. So, no Ja tonight. You know, that doesn't mean anything because they still going to play how they play.
Yeah, they're going to play
tough. Makes it even tougher.
But, the Kings are going to have to get this done themselves. They can't look for help along the way. If they want to salvage the season, if they want to achieve all their goals, like Malik said before he started cursing, they're going to have to do it themselves.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, you're at home, you've got the games, you got to figure this thing out, man. And
it's really unfortunate, though, that being at home doesn't matter. Like, well, they're 16-15 at home.
On the
doesn't matter.
Bright side, aren't they like 4 or 5 games or maybe 6 games over 500 with under Doug Christie?
I don't remember. I think you said that the other day. I don't remember.
So,
All right, I guess maybe the glass is half full.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll look around the rest of the NBA. Talk a little NCAA as well. I think my partner's going to be talking a lot of NCAA over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, a little bit here and there. Yeah.
And the NFL signing, I don't think we expected. Or did we? I don't know. We'll talk about it. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Thielen and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Kings and the Grizzlies tonight at the Golden 1 Center, kicking off a 7-game homestand. Timberwolves have won 8 straight. Still not doing it.
Not believing?
Mm-mm. What do you mean, like, not believing, though? Like, they're going to get out of the play-in, or? I don't think anyone's going to call them title contenders or contenders out the West. I don't think there's a point they could reach, I mean, where I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, getting out of the play-in is, it's whatever. Like, that's whatever. That's, I mean, they win one game and be in the playoff. Like, I don't think they'll win a series.
You don't think they can beat Houston if they're the 7 and Houston is the 2?
They can. They can
beat Houston. Would you pick them?
I would pick Houston. I mean, I'd pick Minnesota.
I think that's the one where I'd probably lead Minnesota.
What if it was Denver?
I think I might pick
Minnesota. I'd go Denver.
Well, hold on. You hate Denver. What would you do?
I think I'd still go Denver, but Denver's kind of scaring me right now.
What if it was Memphis?
I'd probably pick Memphis. I'd probably pick Memphis, but Minnesota.
What if it was the Lakers?
I'd pick the Lakers.
Okay.
I'd pick the Lakers. Minnesota.
Hey, okay.
There's about 2 or 3 teams they could beat in the playoffs. The Ant is stepping up his
Houston
game.
Houston might be one of them. Maybe Memphis.
I think Denver's one of them.
Well, I know you hate Denver.
Well, no, but I do think they got one for you. Denver.
What if it was the Warriors? Warriors ain't that far away. Could they beat the Warriors if the Warriors were the 2 seed?
2 seed I'd Warriors, pick the Warriors. Disgusting.
I'd pick the
Warriors.
Yeah,
I'd take the Warriors too. I think the only team the Timberwolves can actually get the first round is the Rockets.
I think they can get Denver.
I don't care if they get Denver. They're not getting the Warriors. I don't think they'll get the Lakers. I don't think they'll get Denver. I'm just not buying this. It's just too much. It's too much okie doke with them.
It is, but they figured it out.
Like I said, and banana in the tailpipe.
And has stepped his game up.
Banana in the tailpipe.
Julius Randle was out for a while when they were struggling a lot.
When he first got there, they weren't good either, and everybody was killing. Well, first they were fine. They fell off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then he got hurt.
Yeah, and there was an adjustment period, adjustment time, like trying to
fair.
And since he's been back, I don't know what happened there, but I mean they've been cooking.
Mm-hmm.
They've been cooking, and like I said, has stepped his game up. I think they like when they're
do they go as Ant go. Or do they go as Julius go?
I think as Ant goes.
I'd take the others. I think Ant's going to show up, but you're going to need Rudy and Julius to like really do something for them to have any chance in the playoffs.
When they're right, I do think they're a problem for anyone. Because you got a guy in Julius Randle who can give you 20. You have McDaniels. You've got Naz Reid. You've got DiVincenzo coming off the bench. Obviously, you got Ant. Rudy Gobert, who I'm not a big fan of his, but...
You don't say.
But he's still serviceable for some amount of time out there. Not in the fourth quarter, but for some amount of time, he can give you something.
Yeah.
They're sneaky. They're sneaky. I wouldn't put it past them to win around in the playoffs, no matter who they play against. Because you got one of them guys.
Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm choking on water. Don't mind. It's fine. How did D-Lo die? He choked on water in the middle of the show.
What's more likely to happen?
Kenny eats snacks for 6 hours straight, but D-Lo dies on water.
What's more likely to happen? The Timberwolves went around in the win the first round, or the Kings get one win in the first round?
Like one game win?
Yeah, Kings get one game.
Kings get one game win.
Timberwolves get 4.
The
Kings get one win.
Yeah.
If they get into the playoffs.
Hold on, that means they got to the playoffs, though.
Yeah, if they get to the playoffs, they did something right.
Am I reading too much into the question? Is the question the Kings winning multiple play-in games to get to the playoffs?
No, I'm just asking if the Kings get to the playoffs. Are they getting one win against the Thunder?
I think they can get a win against the Thunder. Yeah. Sure. I think they can get a win against the Thunder. I actually think Minnesota could get Houston.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to think about Houston. I don't know who their head of the snake is.
I don't know what to think about. I don't know what to think about Memphis or Houston.
They're not ready. Houston,
like in a playoff,
I could
setting. Not tonight. I think very highly of Memphis tonight.
Yeah, great team. Great true champion.
Yeah, true champions.
Houston, no disrespect to them, but anybody they play, I'm picking the other team to win the series.
Houston, go ahead and make that big move in the offseason, and then we'll check back with you next year, I think. Yeah.
This was a good season, good step. You know, you get some clarity on who you got and who you need to move. But, yeah, you'll be out in the first round, and then you make that next big move.
Go ahead and do that Jabari Smith or Kevin Durant trade. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say let's go hypothetical. 2 seed. Stay hypothetical. You lose to Minnesota, who's playing really well. Mm-hmm. It's a 7, but you're a 7 that's likely going to be separated by, right now it's 3.5 games. I don't think it's going to change much over the next 2 weeks. And I don't think it's going to be much more. Maybe it's a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not it's not like, oh, the 7 seed beat you. You run it back if you're Houston, or do you make a gamble?
You ready to make a move?
Yeah, I think after this year, you know exactly like where you need to go.
Is the move Kevin Durant?
Something like that. I think not exactly KD, but something like that.
Hmm.
They got, and the thing that I've always said about them is they can make a move like that and still
be good
stuff left over. Mm-hmm. You know, to make it. Say Kevin Durant doesn't work. All right, cool. Well, next offseason, you know, we're going to make another move for
it's
somebody.
Not the Kings thing where it's like, this is your last move.
Yeah.
You don't have nothing else.
They got about 3 moves they can make.
I think we used to ask this about the Kings. Do the Rockets need to trade for someone better than Jalen Green or Sengun to, like, get to where they need to go?
I think so. Like a true certified number one?
Yeah, someone better than those guys. Or can those guys lead them and you trade for a 3?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you need – I think these guys have taken you where – as far as you can go,
mm-hmm.
you know, being a team that's almost 20 games over 500 in the regular season, a good seed in the playoffs. I don't think they'll win a series this year, but maybe as they get older, maybe they can win a round or two in the playoffs. But to get over that hump, I think they need somebody just as, if not more, dynamic. Maybe they're hoping Jabari Smith could be that guy. You know, maybe. Well, maybe they're just waiting for a man to ascend.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah, I mean, like the star is there. You see that, but like, if you could take advantage of that, because he's still ascending.
Mm.
I doubt he's that next year.
Right.
I think he ascends next year for sure. But like, I don't know if he's the player that I think a lot of us think that he is. I don't know that he's that next year.
Fair.
And like, if you have an opportunity, or you feel like you have an opportunity, and it might feel different too. Like if you get run out by, we'll stick with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. If you get run out by Minnesota 4-1 or 4-0, maybe you don't feel like you're Kevin Durant away or go extreme Devin Booker away. Maybe you don't feel that. Maybe it becomes a, you know, maybe that's something you do if you win a playoff series. Mm. And you're like, hey, man, we might be able to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go make that move. But I don't know. Yeah. Maybe, you know, that's an outsider evaluating their talent rather than what that front office, I'm sure, is thinking.
And I always talk about a man and what I think he's going to be, what he could be. There's no guarantee, because the thing with him is, you know, if he gets that jumper going,
mm-hmm.
you know, if he can create off the bounce at the jumper, hit the 3-ball and all this other stuff, then it's going to go to another level. There's no guarantee that ever happens, like to the degree that we're talking about. No shade or nothing like that, but that's what we felt with De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox became a better 3-point shooter, but he was never like knocked
a
down.
Killer. Yeah.
And sometimes like it can improve, but it doesn't get to the level that we all are thinking. So not a foregone conclusion that's where a man gets to, but he's got everything else, it feels like.
We mentioned this earlier. The Suns got roughed up by the LeBron-less Lakers. Shout out to LeBron. Hope he enjoyed Sacramento. KC called that one. KC, the weatherman and the LeBron James expert. KC sniffed that one out.
Was that like Tuesday?
Several days ago.
I said, wait a minute.
Did the Rick Ross show up to the game and then get out of there right after?
I'd imagine that's what he did. Yeah.
Or did that? Because we're talking about him hanging out in Sacramento.
No, I imagine he showed up for the game and immediately left. Like he showed up left. Immediately and
he
then
got
left
the plane at like 3:30 p.m.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Got here, got to the Golden One Center. Maybe they had a. Maybe they just got a room just to get a room, right? Mm-hmm. Like just so I have somewhere to put my bags. They probably don't even need that. Just keep it in the Sprinter, and flew back home that night. Maybe they stayed in the Sawyer. Because that was like a 11 o'clock end to that night, 10:30, 11 o'clock end.
Yeah, I'm
night.
Sure he flew home. I don't know. Yeah. But you called it.
Yeah.
I gleefully read the Chris Haynes tweet that said LeBron James would be in Sacramento.
LeBron was in the building, man. And Sierra Canyon got that championship, man. Salute to Bryce and Sierra Canyon. Yeah, big ups. And on Saturday, I was there. I saw a girl, Carrie, and fake Jokic.
Oh, yeah.
They were in the building, man, and saw one of the great performances.
I'm not going to call that man fake Jokic.
No,
he is a big ass
human being. I saw
him.
I didn't call him. I said, what's up, my guy? How you doing, big
dude? He is a big ass human being.
That's my man. But he's a
that looks stunningly like Nikola Jokic.
He does. But he's a basketball head, man. Like, yeah. He'd be on all the basketball.
So they were at the state championships?
Yeah, on Saturday. And shout out to Roosevelt. Shout out to Braden Burris. Mm. What a performance.
Mm-hmm.
What a performance. 44-12 in the state championship game. One of the great performances I ever seen in one of those games. Just like I said, I tweeted, I saw a pro last night. This guy, he might be lottery. I saw a pro last night. So he was fantastic. Air horns for Jesuit winning a state title. Wow. You know, part of me was like, man, Jesuit. I ain't never root for Jesuit. Never. Like that was rival. That
what
was
they do
to,
oh.
That was rival. That was rival. Always right. been rival. Right. I feel like Dion at this point. I feel like Prime.
Okay.
Because remember Prime went to Florida State, but he was like, yeah, Devin Hester, my boy. I've been working with Devin in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the you. And people were like, yo, what you doing, Prime? What you like, man, it's Florida, baby. It's Florida. That's how I feel, man. Shout out to the Jesuit. This is Sacramento, man. Shout out to Jesuit. This is Sacramento. Won that state championship, man. Big ups to my guys over there.
You see these as the same thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's Sacramento. It's Sacramento, baby.
Can you shout out Jesuit? Hey, did you see the controversy, though, when it first happened?
What?
When you shouted out Jesuit. It's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he's doing it. Now, it's just like you said, now he's Sacramento.
Well, yeah, you know.
It's big, same as Deion Sanders. Big deal.
Did you see El Camino link the deal with Malik in the peak?
No, I didn't know nothing about El Camino with that. What'd they do? What happened?
They inked the deal with
the Peak. High school?
Yes.
Oh, so
I kept looking
they're sponsored
at it.
By Peak.
Yeah, I kept looking at this like, is this a different El Camino?
So they're going to wear the Malik Monk shoes.
This is the one I went to? Yeah.
Big ups to them.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sean Cunningham did a story on it the other day.
I saw he was on Saturday. Wow. He had a press conference or something like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he got affiliated with El Camino. Shout out.
I kept thinking that there's a different El Camino here. I just don't know. Where is it in South Sacramento? Where is it? Nope. It's El Camino Avenue, the one I went to.
Big ups, man.
Let your boy get some gear. Let the alumni get some gear here. What are we doing?
I'll get you a hoodie, man.
Let's get Dan in here. 916-909-1320. What's up, Dan?
Oh, hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you guys asked a loaded question on St. Paddy's Day when you asked if Kings fans are mad at this team. I'm drinking all kinds of Guinness. And
there you go. Okay. Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so yes, I'm mad at the Kings, and here's why. In the NBA, you can be old and good. You can be young and good. You can be young and bad. But what you can't be is old and bad. And somehow the Kings are old and bad right now, and we're locked into that for two more years because of the Zach LaVine trade. And we don't even have a first-round draft pick, so there's no hope coming there. So we're basically just locked into a bad team for the next, like, 2 years. And we can't even start rebuilding for 3 years. So, Yeah, I'm kind of pissed off I wasn't born in L.A. or San Diego or San Antonio right now. So, yeah, sure. Kings fans are mad. Happy St. Patty's Day. So,
Dan, real quick, Dan. Don't do this. Dan, I want to ask you something. In the Fox situation, what would you have done? Like, I know you're mad that they got Zach LaVine or whatever, and you could say ask for Stephen Castle. You weren't getting Stephen Castle. Like, what would you have done in that situation?
I called a couple months ago and I said I would have waited till the summertime because I don't want to trade a player when there's only one team bidding on him. You can't get max value that way. The fact that the Bulls got off Zach LaVine and got a first round draft pick in that trade, that basically the Bulls won that trade. San Antonio got a top 20, 25 player without giving up any of their valuable assets. So San Antonio won that trade. Well, there's only a third team in that trade. That's Sacramento. We obviously lost that trade. And so it's like you didn't get enough value. You got the Zach LaVine contract that they couldn't get off of for 2 years. Now it's your problem, and it's just going to, like, prevent you from rebuilding for the next 2 years. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, Dan. And happy St. Patrick's Day
to you. Is it Stephon or Steven?
Stephon.
Have I been? Oh.
Stephon. Yeah,
Stephon. Oh, okay.
He said Steven?
Oh, I thought you did.
You did.
I did.
Yeah. I was like, have I been saying this whole time? Nobody corrected me?
I don't know
why. We just say whatever
that
on the show.
I always call him Stephon. I don't know why I said Stephen.
Yeah,
I
didn't either. I was like, Stephen Castle. Somebody else? Sounds like a Patriot. Stephen Castle of the New England Patriots.
The thing I always go back to like that, and Fox reiterated in one of his many articles since then, he's like, I only wanted to go to San Antonio. So if it's out there that he only wanted to go to San Antonio, in theory, yes, you could just incorporate other teams. But who's giving you anything of substance for a De'Aaron Fox that doesn't want to stay there? De'Aaron Fox isn't Kawhi Leonard. It's not like, well, hey, I know he said he don't want to stay here, but I'm going to take this 1 year rental because he can get us over the top.
Yeah.
Like, is Atlanta going to say, oh, we're going to give you Jalen Johnson for 1 year of Fox, even though we know he's going to leave as a free? Anything could happen. I just find it hard. Like, your leverage was stunted in that situation.
No one, I think with the situation with Kawhi, maybe even to a certain degree, the situation with Paul George as well, the Oklahoma City, the LA to Oklahoma City thing, or Indiana to Oklahoma City thing. Those are two players at the time. Please take yourself back. That
those are MVP candidates.
Yeah, like, we land this player, we could win a championship. Like, this player can put us over the top. We can win a championship with this roster. If we remove DeMar DeRozan and add Kawhi Leonard, we could win a championship. We remove, we add Paul George to this group with Russell Westbrook. We could make some noise. It's not shade, hate, sour grape. Like, I don't know that anyone felt that way about De'Aaron or feels that way about De'Aaron. Not that trade inquiries weren't made. I'm sure that they were. I'm sure there were a variety of teams that asked about De'Aaron Fox. I'm sure there were some that may have been willing to do the one-year gamble, but their return would have been for a one-year gamble. Mm-hmm. You had one team that you could negotiate with in good faith, and it was San Antonio. The part I just don't know is, what would San Antonio have done if Chicago wasn't involved? How valuable was De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio? We'll never know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. I'm of the belief that Sacramento zeroed in on Zach LaVine when De'Aaron, when whatever happened. Mm-hmm. And I think they zeroed in on De'Aaron. I think they zeroed in on Chicago and Zach LaVine and went from there. I don't, maybe they had a conversation about what a deal with just San Antonio would look like, and they determined that that's not appealing for what we're trying to do right now and went the Chicago route. But you know, we say this all, you could do whatever you want to with the trade machine. It doesn't mean.
You think the Kings left that deal feeling happy about their return? Getting Zach back?
Yes.
Mm, I do.
Someone did. Yeah. I don't know if everyone did, but someone did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the Spurs side, if I'm the Spurs, why would I give you anything for, like, so like you're talking about the trade deadline. This is what I'm offering for De'Aaron Fox. You could take it or leave it. We're not in a rush to win this year. We're in talks with his agent and everybody. He wants to come here. So he'll come here this summer or offseason.
Yeah, but his agent wants to get that deal done.
He does because it gets
the money.
The money.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody benefits from the money.
Yep.
And what we don't know is if there's we just talked about Houston, right? And like Houston doesn't have a deal to make. Houston might have two or three to improve their basketball team. They have multiple deals that they can make between, you know, their young assets, their draft picks, their financial space, everything that they have screams multiple deals that they could make to become a true championship contender. Mm-hmm. How does San Antonio feel about their equity? How does San Antonio feel about their draft capital, their young guys, how do they feel about the group that they have? And do they feel like they have multiple moves? Because if they feel like they had, because I have to imagine San Antonio is another team that has multiple moves that they can make. If De'Aaron is one move that they can make, where would he rank on, well, we did think about name a player. Mm-hmm. We have thought about name another player. So you have three players right there, De'Aaron and the other two. Where does De'Aaron rank in those three? Because that would influence the way the conversations went with Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Agents have far more pull in this than most people want to realize. Rich wants to get his client to the place he's going to re-sign. That's San Antonio. San Antonio wants to work with Rich and Clutch for a variety of different reasons. Mm-hmm. And so it's, how can we execute this? Rich might have been the one who said, you know, Zach LaVine would fit here. Mm-hmm. Now, he might have. It wouldn't matter. Yeah, but we know there are people in Sacramento who's liked Zach LaVine for years. So it could have been a gentle nudge or just a mention, but it benefited, in this case, everybody. San Antonio could hold on to Mark. San Antonio really didn't trade anything to land De'Aaron Fox. And Chicago could move off of Zach LaVine's contract. Kings get, you know, second rounders, a first rounder, all of this stuff. And it's like, all right, we said it at the time. I'll say it again today. They're 33-33. Does anyone think it's different if De'Aaron's here? And my answer is no. I don't think it's different. You could be frustrated with the way Zach LaVine is playing right now. I completely understand. How many times have we been frustrated with the way De'Aaron Fox is playing?
Right.
How many times has it felt like De'Aaron Fox has disappeared for stretches of games? A lot. So it's a wash. Like, it's like, I feel like we're living the same thing. I feel like we're living through the same exact thing. And that's just where we're at.
And shout out to Dan, too. Like, people were like, I would have done this and that or whatever. And I don't know necessarily what perspective you're talking from. But if you're talking from Monty McNair's perspective, if your boss is telling you, you either make the playoffs or you're fired. Like, you don't have, like, oh, I'm going to just wait till the summer. You ain't going to be here. You're going to be unemployed. So we don't know if that's the case. If you're looking at it from the Vivek Ranadive aspect, bro, he might be like Matt Ishbia. I'm not here to rebuild. Like, figure this thing out. I just went to the playoffs 2 years ago. I like that feeling. Like, figure out how to get me back to that. While everybody around is looking like, no, you got to rebuild. And I'm not even saying anybody's wrong for that. This guy just went to the playoffs. So I'm trying to get back to the playoffs. Let's figure out a way to do that. I'm not here for no rebuild. So it's never just as simple as I would have done this. Yes, in a perfect world, if you have full autonomy to do whatever, maybe that works. But there's agents you got to answer to. There's ownership, there's coaching staff, all this other stuff that you got to account for. And I just don't always think it's that easy to just say I would have done this or that in situations like that.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball, more NBA basketball. Maybe we'll even talk a little NCAA basketball. We got James Hamm coming up at 3 o'clock. We got Kings basketball tonight at the Golden One Center. It's dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. Buddy's funny. Yes, no, I've been to Foot Locker.
That was the richest break ever. Like that was crazy.
Yeah, but Dame low-key dissed us all like in just one sentence.
That's not what happened.
He talked to us like he was John Cena.
Facts.
That's not what happened. Man.
Now look, obviously,
God bless.
They're a little. They're different because it's off white. It's like off white.
They're
you know what I mean?
It's a completely different shoe. It's not the same. I'm looking at each of them right now. It's not the same.
Well, they don't have that padding over
there. Yeah, that's the but that adds a bunch of definition to it. Like I think I can get the white one on Amazon, but it looks like a nurse's shoe.
Nurse might wear those shoes, but they're fire.
But the off-white version looks like a completely different shoe.
It does.
Completely different price point, too.
Yeah.
You let us know.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess these are just not in my future ever again.
Would you wash those shoes?
I've thought about that, and so I've thought about that in these Travises that I have on because of that material. Mm-hmm. And knowing, like, I can get help getting another pair of these, mm-hmm. not for one of these crazy prices. I don't think I can get those off-white ones ever again, or maybe ever. It doesn't appear I'll ever be able to get them again. So I don't know that I'd wash them. I might scrub them by hand, but I don't know that I'd wash them.
Some of the washing stuff is actually works. Actually,
you put it in like the little bag.
I've never done it with any of the off-whites, but I've done it for regular shoes, and I'm like, damn, that actually looks great. That looks phenomenal. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to.
Hold on, bro. Like, what are you talking about? They got them for $800 right here. What size you wear?
10.5.
It's even cheaper.
I'm not paying. No, I'm not paying $800.
Are you gonna buy them for Dame? Or?
I'm not gonna pay $800 off of GOAT to get them. Well, those are your websites.
That's where you can find them.
That's not where I get them from, and you know that.
Well, I know, but I'm saying if you're saying they're nowhere
I'm not
to be,
doing
you can
that.
Find them.
No, I can't get them from the person who helps me get them for non-$800.
They're there.
Okay, we'll get. Well, my birthday's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Why
don't you get me and Jesse a pair?
Yeah, Mr. Big Time. They were just $800 over here on this website. Wow.
I was, you know, I was thinking about re-ing up my mine, you know, because I got the black and white joints. Mm-hmm. I don't know. These are $2,000.
Yours are $2,000? Man, and I got expensive taste.
Well,
mine are measly $800, which I did not pay $800 for my shoes.
Casey didn't even like directly say no. He's like, yeah, it's $2,000. I got to think about it. You got to think about it.
Not the most I've ever spent for a shoe is it's going up every time.
No, go ahead, tell us.
Yeah,
what's the most
it?
You ever spent?
What is the most I ever spent? It was about $5 million.
Okay.
And these weren't even off whites.
Okay.
$5 million, that's insane.
$5,000.
Wow.
What was the shoe?
It was the Spider-Man Jordan 1s. And it was one of those things. Couldn't find him nowhere, but I really wanted the shoe. At the time, Reese had him. He was like, not a baby, but he was like 3 or 4. And I wanted him too. And I was searching all around. Couldn't find him. And I broke down and I got him from, what's the place that used to be downtown that they got looted really bad when they...
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember.
I got him from there, man. And I said, I'm really about to do this. But at the time, it's like, this was his first pair of Jordans. I wanted to match him. So I was like, all right, man.
That's sweet.
But yeah, a couple times, like some of the off-whites, shout out to my guy. He was just like, hey, do you want a pair? I'm going to give them to you, but I can get them for retail.
Mm-hmm.
Bet. Did it. So
I don't even wear the most expensive one I bought very often or ever. I really don't wear it ever.
What's that?
The one I got for Kyle's wedding.
Oh, well. Yeah, let me see how much those are.
Well, no.
Yeah, look those up real quick.
No.
I'm very curious.
Wasn't that? But even with a comfortable discount,
tell the full price. I want to know the full price.
Stop.
Is Dame wearing my rent?
That's not full price. No.
I don't want to know what Dame paid for.
No.
I don't know what Dame paid for.
The next words that are coming out of his mouth are a lie. This is not a full price that he is about to give you. This is an aftermarket price.
Yes.
He is about to give you.
I would like to know what Dame could sell his shoes for right now.
All right. So,
this is not
speechless.
If he wanted a new pair, he can get a new pair for $7,500.
Wow, $7,500, huh?
Now, if he wanted to sell his pair, the last sale went for 12 racks.
And that's what, you got me turning heel on this guy for $2,000 shoes. Meanwhile, you got 12 grand on your feet.
That's not true. Nothing that he just said.
Hey, that's crazy. Hey, Chad, you see that? Dame's putting 12 grand to concrete sometimes.
Not true. No, that's all a fabrication.
Woo.
Absolute. I've always, my line has always been the same. I am nobody. I'm just fortunate enough to know people in various walks of life.
I don't know, brother. You're walking around with the price of two starter cars on your feet. You got two 2007 Hondas on your feet, brother.
not real.
Oh, man.
Not real.
Just trying to live.
Not real.
Just trying to live. That's all I'm trying to do out here, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just out here bargain shopping with the, I got the tailwinds.
You just
today.
Turned your nose up at buying $800 shoes.
I didn't turn my nose up.
Oh, you could get them for $800. I'm not buying $800 shoes.
I'm saying if I had your bank account, I could get them for $800.
All right, man.
Nothing.
Your boy's broke. That's Backyard Project beat my ass. It's over. I'm going to be shopping on Amazon in the TikTok shop.
Yeah, shopping on Amazon from your vacation spot in your backyard. I'm going to be like D-Lo one day.
You know what I mean? Look, hey, and me, I'm like I said, pants from Fashion Nova, shirt from H&M.
Let's reach this.
Well, you know what I'm
going to
be doing? I'm going to be buying mismatched clothes from Fashion Nova also. Stuff that you can't actually put in the washer. You have to spot clean because it might fall apart. He always talks about his Fashion Nova clothes. He's never worn more than once.
I wear my Fashion Nova stuff all the time.
I don't think that's true. I think you put it in the washer and you just go to put it in the dryer and it's gone.
Shout out to my people over at Fashion Nova, man.
All right, man.
Remember when he was doing random ads for insoles?
Yeah, move soles. Yeah, I got my insoles on today. My everyday joints.
Is that why you're taller?
I don't know. I feel the same height.
Like,
I don't know.
Don't do that to him.
I don't know.
Oh, goodness gracious. NCAA tournament is set for both the men and the women. Real quick, you got work ahead? Is that official?
I do next Thursday.
Okay.
Be on CBS 13. And then we got to see what happens out there because I actually came across something. I got to talk to my man Jake. But, yeah, I'll be on there. I know my man Coach Katz is going to be on CBS 13 a lot.
Very good.
And, yeah, it's that time of year. It's that time of year, baby. March Madness. I will say this. It was always, like, the time of year for me. You know, one of the time of year. Like, March Madness, unbelievable. Can't wait to see the brackets. I haven't even printed out a bracket yet. Like, this year, it's like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And this was actually this wasn't like last year. Like I thought last year for men's college basketball was like bad. That wasn't even the case this year. It was a good year for men's basketball. But yeah, I don't know. The SEC got 14 teams in the tournament. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I think the old record was 11 from like the ACC or something like that, like 10 years ago. 14 teams is kind of, I don't know if Georgia needed to make the tournament. Like, could have found somebody else out there.
Do you want to weigh in on the North Carolina controversy?
So I saw some of it. Are people outraged that they got in?
Yeah, so I thought the committee chair did a hell of a job of explaining it on the selection show. People seem to be, there seemed to be a good, like, and I'm talking like, I don't know how many people like me, like, I wasn't outraged when I saw it. I knew they were, I could call them a bubble team. I knew it was close.
Yeah.
So when they called them, it was like, oh, okay. I wasn't of the mindset, oh, West Virginia got rot. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm not going to participate in those conversations. but I've read, you know, like bracketologists, like 111 had West Virginia in, only 27 had North Carolina. And so, like, I get that it was a discussion that people were split on. But I thought the way that they explained it was like, okay, like, I get it. It sounded like it was kind of a last minute vote type thing. Like, all right, I get it.
I thought going into Champ Week, the story around North Carolina was if they could get one win in the ACC tournament, that should get them in. I think I could pull it up because I lost track of, I think they got two wins in the ACC tournament. So after they got the second win, my mind was already like, oh, yeah, they're in. Like, they did what they had to do. So I didn't look at it as they shouldn't have been in. I thought they should have been in. Like, it's fine. Like, I know West Virginia and all this other stuff, but I thought North Carolina did enough to get into the tournament. And as opposed from taking out they won two games in the tournament. It'd be Notre Dame and Wake Forest. As opposed to, like, saying North Carolina should be out. Like I said, I don't know why I keep picking on these guys, but Georgia didn't need to be in. Put West Virginia. You don't need 14 teams from the SEC. Like, that, I don't know who the last team was to get in. I keep picking on Georgia. Maybe they weren't. But the last team from the SEC, get them out and put West Virginia in.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.